welcome to the Birdie and Bass podcast, episode 14. I'm Bass, and with me is Birdie.
How you going?
And in this episode, we're going to discuss the updated, well, finally some prices and updated information for the Xbox Series X and Series S that's going to come out. So the Series X has just had pricing announced. It's $499 US or $750 in Australia. And the Series S is $299 US or $500 Australian. Pre-orders are available from the 22nd of September with a release date of November 10.
Yeah, so funny thing is this came out as a leak from Windows Central, pretty much, I found out. They leaked the Series S with the $299 price point, and they had the Series X there with the $499 price point. And what it was, what, 3 days or something? Or am I, or is it 3 hours? I don't know.
I don't think it was very long at all.
Microsoft confirmed very quickly that, yes, that is the Series S. Yes, it is $299. And that's all they said. They did not confirm anything about Series X. And then a while later, we'll say, they came out and announced that, yes, the Series X is $499. And at the same time, they said, this is when you can pre-order it. This is when pre-orders will go live worldwide. And then from there, Xbox Australia and probably Xbox, or actually, I saw Xbox UK's post about their localized price point go up before Xbox Australia's price points did. So that was a bit iffy, but beggars can't be choosers. $750 was a little bit more than I was expecting from the $499 price point, but the world is what it is at the moment with inflation and really bad dollar values on stuff.
I think they just had to go in with their like worst case scenario. This is what we need to make it to cover ourselves off if there is a fluctuation in the in the dollar.
Like, as soon as I saw the $499 price point for Series X, was that's how much the Xbox One X was, which means it's going to be $699 Australian, because that's what the Xbox One X was, without even thinking about like the state of the world at the moment, because I was too excited that we actually got prices and a date. So that's where my head went straight away, but fair enough. I mean, honestly, I probably would have paid more for a Series X than $750. I was prepared to pay more than that. I think a lot of people were, to be honest. So it's kind of nice to see it at a reasonable price, and it's not sitting at that infamous PlayStation 3 launch price point of $1,000 Australian.
So I don't seriously doubt they would have been able to get away with a $1,000 console. There would have been so much backlash on it.
I've actually been corrected to my face by a person very abruptly about the PlayStation 3 price point when it launched. They said it was not $1,000. I'm like, I'm sorry. I launched them. I was sitting amongst about 50 of them, and I was filling out pre-orders and everything. They were thousands. No, they weren't. They were $999. I'm like, oh my fucking God, I want to punch you.
It's got to be that dollar less.
I'm like, Oh, fine then. Why don't you go to JB Hi-Fi? I believe they had them for freaking $995.
I don't know. It's trying to work out what, looking at the specs on this and everything else like that, the Series S seems to be very, like it's running the same. From what I gather by the looks of it, it's running the same. The Series X and Series S seem to run the same CPU, same GPU, same GDDR6 RAM, and same NVMe SSD in it, and they have the terabyte expansion card slots and everything else like that. The only thing is, it's just the Series S obviously doesn't have as better cooling as what the X does, and only can, the GPU power is only, what, 4 teraflops compared to 12.
Yeah, so 4 teraflops, that puts it above an Xbox One S, but it does put it below an Xbox One X. So the rumors are true about it being less powerful than a One X, which, fair enough. I mean, it's not clocked at doing 4K. It is clocked at doing 1440, which is about 2K. It is running, like, you're correct, it's running the new 8-core AMD Zen 2 CPUs. But it has been throttled back on the Series S.
You just see it, the what the RAM can do and everything else like that. So I don't know whether the Series X has a better board design than what the Series S does.
Mm.
Or whether the Series, I don't know, whether maybe the Series S is using boards out of something else that they've got, like a basic board, and then they've just added the newer CPU and stuff to them.
I think it actually, like, if you look at the size of it, I know it's smaller than an Xbox One X, but I think they could be using a similar board to keep down the cost, and they're just using a throttled back CPU and GPU. I mean, the GPU on the Series S, according to this, only has 20 computing units at 1.5 gigahertz. Nearest makes no difference. Whereas the GPU on the Series X has 52 computing units. I mean, the thing's a beast. They've definitely throttled back. That massive black spot on the console itself is obviously a massive fan cooling system. So you're right. I think, like, the biggest thing that came out of all the specs drop for the PlayStation 5 and the Series X was literally the PlayStation 5 is very powerful when it's cool. As soon as it starts getting hot, it throttles back its power. And a lot of game developers have actually said that its cooling is not great. So it's a pretty throttled back console, where everything they've said about Series X's power and the thermal variables about it, it doesn't matter how hot it gets, it's still going to be running with this power output that they put in the specs. There's no thermal loading or anything like that. So they've obviously got their cooling on point, and it can handle this much power. So do you think they've done the same with the Series S, where they've tapered the power to what the cooling is capable of?
Yeah, so you can see it in the different sizes of the cases.
Because
the Series S is you'd say about half the size, maybe a third of the size of a Series X.
Yeah, apparently it's 60% smaller.
So there's a fair chunk of, I reckon there's probably a dirty great big cooler hanging off that GPU and CPU in that Series X.
Yeah, I believe they're using the same type of vapor chamber liquid cooling system they have in a 1X. It's just bigger, I think. That was one of those early things that they said. I'd have to actually look back into it. If not, if they're doing all that by fan, that's ridiculous. But, I mean, they've used the vapor chambers before to great success, so I don't see why they'd go back. And there is a really big honking great heat sink in that thing from when they were doing the teardowns of it. So if that's not a vapor chamber, then yeah, it's going to be a bit iffy, but I doubt it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just want to get one, plug it into my 4K TV and see how well it looks and what the load times are going to be like. But obviously, thus, you're not going to really know the output of that until you've got a optimized Series X game.
Well, let's talk about that for a bit, because obviously there's going to be no Halo Infinite at launch. So what is your game that you're most looking forward to putting in to that Series X in the launch window? I won't even say day one. I'll give you a launch window.
I haven't actually had a look and see what games are actually coming out on launch.
What are you excited for to play in 4K that you know that's coming?
I'm intrigued about the new Forza.
New Forza? I don't even think that's coming this year.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. I think the Assassin's Creed Valhalla looks like something you can sink into, because I just want a game. Call of Duty's new game, the Cold War.
Yeah.
But it's like looking through the games, it's just trying to follow. I was going to say intrigued about Cyberpunk, but who knows when that's going to come out.
Apparently within the week.
I'm intrigued to see what some of these games get patched up to. Like, you've got Destiny 2 getting patched to be on there.
There's rumors of Apex Legends and Fortnite and Call of Duty Cold War all running 120 frames per second.
Oh, so Forza Horizon 4 is going to get patched up to it for smart delivery.
What is it, 4K 60 or? It already runs it.
It runs at 4K on the Series X.
Yeah, there's a 4K 60.
I don't know. And you got Gears 5. Gears 5 is supposed to be doing 120.
Okay, if they can make Gears 5 do it.
I thought I'd seen somewhere that one of the Gears games is doing 120.
Maybe if you took it down to 1080, I'm not sure. I know Gears 5 can on PC, so I reckon it could on this.
So I thought that was one of the games that was gonna go up there, but I don't see a huge amount of games that are dropping in that week that aren't just current games getting an uplift to run on Series X.
Pretty much all the marketing material now is get an Xbox Series X at launch and Game Pass. That's it. Game Pass is that game, is that big knockout hit. They don't have anything else since Halo Infinite kind of went bye-byes. I mean, I think, I do believe Cyberpunk's coming out a few days before the Series X is. So, I mean, that could be a good one to play.
Yeah, but you've also looking through, you've got a lot of games that are currently in, that you can currently play that are getting scaled up to play on Series X, which is probably not a bad thing in the fact that you can go play Apex as it is, you can go play Sea of Thieves as it is and all the rest of it on your One X, and then you can get your Series X, plug it in, download the games, and go back in and you can look at the exact same game that you were playing on your console before on the new console with obviously a patch update.
Mm.
Hopefully it's not like 100 gig or something like that, like the 4K patches were. It's going to give you a pretty good idea of have you spent the money correctly on the hardware. You're not like you're going in with a new hardware and you're getting these new games with it and you're going, okay, is this better? Is this not? You've actually played the game previously and you can be able to tell the difference.
So what you're saying is it's kind of like upgrading your PC and then like playing World of Warcraft again. You're going to see the something difference in what the hardware does rather than going from...
I don't think WoW is a good example. WoW's not the most...
No, it looks like shit.
but it's one of those things. It's like upgrading your computer and you're loading up, say, Call of Duty, or you're going to Warzone again, and you can turn on or turn off a lot of stuff, turn up a lot of stuff and everything like that. But there's a lot of games getting released around that time as well, because don't forget, you like got Watch Dogs Legionnaire coming out.
Mm-hmm. Watch Dogs Legion, Cyberpunk. There's what, got, two, three more?
Well, I know you've got a lot of, like, Destiny 2 are doing the board. They're doing the big upgrade on the game as well, so you can.
And putting it on Game Pass.
Yeah. Yep, except for the expansion. But there's that new expansion coming out, so I don't know whether that's going to be optimized for Series
X. Apparently it's going to be optimized, but it did get delayed, remember?
Yeah, I think we just... I think the end of the day is what the world is doing at the moment and the way we live in and what 2020 is like. Whatever games we get is the games we get. At the end of the day, they can only develop what they can develop given the way things are at the moment, where they can't really go and do much like recording of music or recording of people's like to do the animation and stuff like that at the moment. It's whatever you can do in a small group is what you can do.
Yeah, pretty much you're going to have to use old assets because you can't do mocap unless you're in a very lucky position to do it. Well, you can't do any voice recording.
I have heard that I think in Europe or something, they were doing mocap, but they were doing it with the actor or actors were in one room and they were using robotic cameras and stuff like that, and the camera controllers and stuff were sitting in a booth separately away from everyone else, sort of like they were separating people out into groups.
Very expensive solution, but then again, if you don't actually publish something, then you're not going to make any money at all.
Yeah, but the other side of it is it an expensive solution? Some people are just happy to be getting work, so they might just charge their normal rate for it because, hey, it's income.
I just meant expensive is the point where you had to go and get robotic arms for the cameras.
Yeah, I think it's mainly just having like a stationary camera set up and then an arm on it or whatever. But this day and age, I think the fact of the world we live in and what it's going to be like for the next 2 or 3 years, I think there'd probably be an investment well worth it for some development studios.
I mean, if you think about it, the one good thing that has come out of COVID is the fact that technology has taken such a massive leap because everyone has been stuck at home. So stuff like communication technologies, online buying technologies, things like this, delivery technologies even, has just gone through the roof because there's a need for it.
Yep.
Even like server infrastructure has actually increased. And you can tell on some games, like some online games, that now there's not such a massive load because more and more people are going out of isolation. They're better than ever.
Oh, there would have been the fact that the amount of server load that would have hit when people had to just stay home would have been phenomenal. But the other side of it is it probably gives a lot of these developers the ability to load test.
Oh, yeah. So they know, best free load testing ever.
They got to know off current games what the game does and the load that it provides and what you get out of it. Mm. So then they're going to be able to evolve it going further forward, because I think the other side of it is with all these games getting developed and these games dropping and stuff like that and coming out, they need to make sure they've got the infrastructure in place to run them, especially all these ones that if they're online-based and everything else like that. Like, there's not exactly the fact that we're getting less and less online games or there's other older games getting phased out. I think the amount of games that are getting phased out needing dedicated online servers to new ones coming in wouldn't be one-for-one sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's going to be that need to expand the data centers and stuff like that. We just hope that we get back into some sort of production happening in China when it comes to computer parts and everything.
Yeah, I believe that's picking back up, but I think they're just a little bit wary about it. But, I mean, you know more about server technology than I do with this. With, like, what EA said, announced the games that are coming out for next gen, most of them were cross-play, like cross-platform play between PC, PS4, well, PlayStation, Xbox, all that, right? Does that put a bigger server load on there, or because it doesn't segregate them amongst consoles, or?
I think you probably find that depends how they're. I'm actually intrigued now to know how they're actually doing the crossplay sort of thing. Does that mean that? I suppose that means that there's more load on the servers, but obviously the routing that's going to be coming through to them is going to be coming, instead of coming all through Xbox's network or Microsoft's network into those servers, it's going to be coming from two different networks.
Mm.
So I would assume that the load would still be there, and it will be getting up. So I'm actually intrigued as more and more of these will. Fortnite didn't really have much of a hit, I guess, when it came to crossplay on that. But I'm just intrigued to see how other games go with this. Like, I'd love to see. Well, Warzone's actually crossplay at the moment because you can end up playing with anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
I'm actually intrigued to see how Apex handle it.
Not crossplay?
Crossplay. What they actually do with that, what they allow.
It's kind of been addressed on Twitter by one of the developers saying that, because there was a lot of people freaked out, like they didn't want to come up against like cheaters on PC and stuff like that. Apparently, on console, the game will not automatically match you with anyone on PC. They'll just keep you amongst the consoles. Unless you're playing with a PC player in your group.
Yeah.
Say I change to PC Apex. I still want to play with these guys, and these guys are on the Xbox. That means I'm literally the entryway for all PC players to come in and just make us look like shit.
Yeah, but the other side of that, I know in Call of Duty, and I think in Fortnite as well, they've got the ability to toggle PC players on and off. In crossplay.
That could come. I'm just going off like it was literally a very short tweet.
Yeah.
To stop people going, oh my God, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Because I think they've got to address the issue that they've found with, I know with Warzone competitions, and they've got that issue that if you get a better lobby if you have someone that's on a console hosting than if you have someone that's on PC. So I'm just, there's all those to and fro and stuff like that, but I know that there was a couple of people that were asked to please explain when they were playing a Warzone tournament, and apparently they had the PC players toggled off in the multiplayer thing, but two of the four people in the tournament were playing on PC, but they were getting console lobbies because the person was hosting it was a console and they toggled off the.
Oh my God.
So, where there's ways and means, people will try and push that limit.
Yeah, at the moment. See, I'm looking forward to crossplay.
I'm looking forward to crossplay for the fact you could play on PS4. And the other side of it I'm looking forward to is there was PS4. I need to find out if you sync, because there's been PS4 exclusive stuff in Call of Duty that if you go in and you get that. Now, I haven't played Call of Duty or Warzone or anything on my PS4. But I want to know if I go in there, do I get all the stuff I've unlocked on my Xbox gun-wise across there? Does it?
No.
Flip, but I don't think it does, which is a pain in the butt.
It doesn't because Sony won't agree to it. It's the same with the Fortnite agreement and also the same with what they've said with Apex as well. Pretty much any progression or skins or anything you unlock on one platform will not transfer to another.
Well, that sucks us.
Because the whole thing began with Sony going, well, no, you can't bring your Xbox skins over from Fortnite on PlayStation because we didn't get any money from that because you didn't buy them on our store.
Which is kind of crap because they've been giving away free stuff as being a PlayStation Plus member. And I was just like, well, I mean, thinking, grabbing this stuff, I'm like, unless I go and play the game on PlayStation 4, I can't really use it.
I know. It's stupid. But that's how it is, unfortunately.
Yep.
The main thing I want for crossplay, because no one's really said yes or no yet, is that Apex Legends crossplay will also include ranked lobbies. Because I'm sick of playing on US servers with over 200 ping because there's no one on the Australian servers on Xbox.
Yeah,
I just want that to be filled.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping with crossplays. I can crossplays and then Series X, and if Apex is one going to be playing at 120 frames per second, 120 playing ranked on a Series X while you're going against PlayStation guys, it's going to be quite good.
I'm going to love it. They can have any scuff controller they want. I'm going to love it.
I actually want to do a comparison between a scuff controller and an Elite. But anyways.
That's for another time when we've got the money.
Oh, yeah. Or you can find one. You can't get anything secondhand. I've been looking. But the other thing is,
if you'd like to donate to this cause, please come on to twitch.tv/birdieassassin. Donate the amount for a scuff controller and we will do a comparison.
Yep, we'll try them out. But the other side of it is I don't think it's really worth buying controllers at the moment with the new console. Well, Xbox is going to be fine. You can
Xbox is going to work.
PlayStation is not. But I'm intrigued to see what this expansion cards are like. That's the thing that I'm intrigued to see what these 1 terabyte expansion cards are like, whether you can hot swap them while the Xbox is still on, whether you can put games on them and then you just hot swap them around or whatever. But
I'm intrigued
about that part because it's one of those things where you try and work out. Obviously, you can't play your Series X games off a external normal USB hard drive unless...
No, but all the other ones you can.
The other thing I'm intrigued that I'm interested to know is why the Series X isn't running USB-C USBs on the back of it, because that would have actually made external hard drives faster.
Very true. I think it was more of a compatibility thing, like they wanted people to be able to unplug their externals from their Xbox Ones and plug them straight into the Series Xs, and there you go, you got all your games again.
That's true, but I just mean more of an expansion pass, so unless the end of the day is that's why they got the expansion cards in there. They want you to spend the money on those.
I think that would be the fastest possible way, is literally what they've designed with those NVMe memory cards. Whether they're hot swappable or not, I don't know. I haven't seen anyone test it, to be honest.
So we're back to the old Xbox days with memory cards.
Well, I did see a cutaway design of what it is, and it's literally that NVMe hard drive and they've just put an encasement around it. So exactly what they did with the Xbox 360 hard drives, they just put a plastic encasement around it so it would just go in the slot where you go.
So when do you reckon the day's going to be where you can buy yourself your own little case and slide whatever size NVMe in there you like?
I was going to say, how big do you, can you get them from one of your vendors? And I'll just freaking get a couple of memory cards and open them up.
I think I'll have a look. I think 2 terabyte is the biggest.
Oh, there you go, 2 terabytes. We're good. So, and to go way back.
I don't know if I'd really want to know the price of it, but anyways.
Yeah, that's true. To go way back, the Xbox Series X is running a vapor chamber. And it's a freaking beast compared to what the Xbox One X had in it.
Oh, I would no doubt on that one.
It's freaking big, man. It's like putting an oversized intercooler on the front of your car.
Yep. Yeah, two terabytes, the biggest NVMe you can get at the moment. Unless you want to lash out like $3,500 and get an 8 terabyte one, but that looks like it's a RAID setup that goes into a PCIe Express slot. So
Jesus freaking Christ.
That would be if you're into editing. 8K footage would probably need that.
Yeah, because it will take up 7.3 gigabytes of it.
Yep.
Sorry, terabytes.
So, I mean, that's the thing that I'm intrigued about is because obviously as we get more and more games and leaning towards the whole buying them digitally versus going and getting physical copies, and I don't know whether it's because of COVID, but the digital bargains have actually started to get better and better over the past couple of months. So I don't know whether that's Microsoft pushing them to say, well, you give retailers these incentives, why can't we have something sort of incentive in the Microsoft store?
Yeah. I think it might have been kind of a two-way street. Like, they've seen an influx of people buying more digital games now because of COVID. So they think, they're like, oh, since we got this influx, we might as well keep people coming in. We'll start being more like brick and mortars and having specials and stuff like that on there. Or the other way of thinking about it is that since a lot of the developers can't really get their hard copies out because vendors aren't buying them because they can't sell them on to retailers, maybe it's just like a backlash from that pretty much. So they've had to be smarter with their digital property.
Yeah, it's true. At the end of the day, I'm enjoying it. I think I've bought 2 or 3 of the last games I've got digitally. The only ones I've actually bought physical copies of is Tony Hawk, because I got the Skateboard Collector's Edition.
Mm.
Otherwise, I would have got that one digitally.
I got that one digitally because I missed out on the skateboard.
Otherwise, and then the only other couple of games that I have bought, I've only bought because they've been on sale as like clearances and stuff like that, and they were just stupidly cheap.
Mm.
But apart from that, I'm more swinging towards the whole digital thing. I just need to go get a lot bigger external hard drive. But I'm waiting to try and get hold of the Western Digital Gaming Series.
The Series X and the Series S does have me a little bit worried with these expansion cards being expensive because of what's inside them. And I like 1 terabyte's not going to be enough. Like, you're right. Like, if they're going to go back to memory cards, can I literally swap them out quickly?
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. Like, I'd start, depending on the price of these expansion cards, you look at the whole put your FPS games on one, your different sort of genre of games on the different cards, or depending on the price of them, that, because the last thing I want to be doing is having to sit there and transfer games between an external hard drive and the internal, the expansion card, so I can play them.
Imagine, like, I haven't played Call of Duty in a long time. Oh, it's on my external. I have to move it to my internal hard drive. Holy shit, it's 140 gigabytes. You might as well go and make lunch.
Yep.
I don't care how fast the fucking thing is. It's going to take a long time, longer than you want it to.
Yep. Yes, that is it. Hopefully, my hope is that if you've got games sitting on external hard drive, that it updates like the Xbox does now.
Mm.
So you can move it across to your internal drive and it's already up to date and you're ready to go. But we'll see what happens.
Do you think there is a possibility that one of the Microsoft partners, like I'm hoping Western Digital, but I'm going to clench my teeth a little bit and say maybe Seagate would build like, say, a 10 terabyte or 5 terabyte external hard drive that has the connection to go into the memory card slot of an Xbox Series X. And it can be used as a massive, like, mass storage device external.
I think it's possible.
Because it would have to be solid state.
I'd actually be intrigued to see that if someone could actually pull that off. I reckon if it's not done by a hard drive company, it'll be done by a third party. It's just getting that connector that I don't know whether that's a proprietary connector that Microsoft have for connecting those expansion cards.
That's very true. It'll all be about opening one up and just seeing what it is.
Yep. Because that's going to be the sticking point for it. But you could definitely, I think that's the only way you're pretty much going to see a external hard drive where you can run your games off in a Series X is to have something that plugs into there, or it is an adapter that plugs in there, that slides in there, and it converts the expansion card to a proprietary port or a USB-C port or something like that.
It would have to be quick. That's the only thing, to be able to run the games from it.
Well, most of your external SSD drives are USB-C now because of the throughput on it.
Yeah. Does that match what NVMe can do? I don't know.
I don't know of many actually external NVMe things. That's
very true, to be honest.
So I don't know.
Here's a bit of a sticking point for me. All these memory cards, like every time you see a picture of them in someone's hand, they've all got a Seagate label on them.
Oh, they'll be Seagates. There's no doubt. Microsoft's got a partnership with Seagate.
So this is my issue. Like, we've both had Seagates fail on us on multiple occasions.
Yep.
They're kind of notorious for it. What do you think the failure rating of this is going to be?
Well, they're SSDs, so there's no spinning components. There's no...
That's true. I didn't think of that.
...actual anything. They're just like... It's like a giant USB drive, so it's just a solid data thing. I think the only way you can really wipe one of those SSD drives is if you put it near, what is it, like a magnetic field or something like that that wipes it or something along the lines of that. But Yeah, I don't even think USB-C, to be honest, is going to be... You can do Type-C out to 10 gigabits a second, apparently. Which is out to what the NVMe is. So it's probably possible to push USB-C out to the same as that. But yeah, I'm just, that's the only biggest thing issue I see with these, with the whole Microsoft going into the whole direction of like with the Halo Infinite, it just sounds like it's one game that's going to go for 10 years sort of thing, like GTA 5 and stuff like that. How long are these Series X's meant to last with limited, unless they, as this probably could do, they could probably wait 4 years or whatever and do a refresh and drop all the USB-A ports and put USB-Cs in and change things around for that. But
I can't believe
storage is going to be the limiting factor in all of this, to be honest.
You know what I still can't believe?
What's that?
We're on our third, onto our third console generation that's been kind of mainstream with USBs, and they still only have three on there.
It's probably because maybe the controller can only handle three.
I know, but it's kind of annoying. Like, if you think about
the other limiting factor is power. How much power a hard drive, external hard drive draws if you're using non-powered external drives.
I wasn't even thinking about that, really. I'm thinking everyone's going to use the front one to like have a controller cable in there, or, you know, a wired controller, because let's face it, a lot of people use wired controllers because they don't want to pay for batteries. But they can't afford to get a wireless controller. Fair enough. That's the front USB. Then the rear USB is going to be used for an external hard drive. Let's face it, it's going to happen. Then the third one, if you're more of a serious gamer, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be using a high-end headset, which is going to be USB powered.
Yeah, that's why I ended up switching over to a headset that's appears to be another controller.
Yeah, so you've got one with a wireless interface.
Yeah, so I needed, because I wanted that extra thing, because I run two external drives, which, looking at the way the Series X is going with the space that's on it, you're going to need one, maybe two externals. So,
but let's face it, on your streaming setup where you've got your Astro A40s, exactly like I do, it's a USB.
Yeah.
Down the drain.
I can only put one external hard drive on the back of that. So
I'm having the same issue. I want to use my steering wheel, then there goes the front USB. If I want to use my flight stick for Elite Dangerous, there goes my front USB.
Yep.
So it just annoys me.
Or whether they just need to do USBs but label them saying this is for controllers only or whatever. Maybe at the end of the day, maybe a controller draws the same amount of power as an external hard drive.
Could do.
So we just don't know.
Not without ripping one apart and testing it all.
Yeah, that's true.
But we have done like 90% of some engineer's job of how to make a mass storage device that goes into the back of the Xbox Series S. So I'll be waiting for my paycheck on the copyright infringement.
I'm intrigued to see. I can give it time once it's out there, probably a couple of years, and people start tinkering around with them. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, as soon as I see something from Big Ben Interactive or something like that, I will be emailing the lawyers for copying my idea.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
Freaking asshats.
It's probably come out of China, so you've probably got no copyright.
Yeah, of course.
Anyways, which one are you grabbing on day one, and are you grabbing one on day one?
I'm grabbing a Series X on day one, whether I have to kill people for it or not.
I'm going to be doing the same, I think. I'll get a Series X I don't, just don't see the point in a Series S, to be honest. It's a downgrade to run to the 1Xs that I've got.
Exactly. So, I mean, you've got a 1X. I know you wanted to upgrade your daughter's Xbox One S. But, I mean, an upgrade for that might be just a 1X.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm just going to look around for one of those or she can use one of the ones I've got.
Yeah.
Here's
a real question, though, quickly. Like, I know we primarily play Xbox, but are you going to get a PS5 on day one?
I will be getting a PS5. I don't know whether I'm going to get it on day one. It depends on a couple of games and what happens, obviously, this week with the announced PS5 showcase.
Hopefully they have a price.
They have a price. Depending on the price, it's going to depend on what I'm going to do. But I'm even contemplating getting a PS5, just the digital edition, just for the fact being that it does look a lot nicer, the disc edition, to be honest.
It doesn't look like it's got a cancerous growth coming off of it.
Yeah. And then obviously the announcement also during the week was that EA Play is now in Xbox Game Pass Ultimate now.
Yes.
So they're just about, Microsoft are living up to their word where they're just bringing everything in.
And honestly, the biggest thing about this is not even the fact that Microsoft pulled it off, the fact that EA, probably one of the most toxic companies for microtransactions, has agreed to it.
I think they've probably looked at it. It's in their best interest.
Yes. They're trying to do a goodwill thing. I think that's why they made everything crossplay type.
Yeah.
They're trying to get off their this generation's kind of toxicity towards them.
I think they're just trying to get away away from the whole microtransactions and Battlefield issue.
Star Wars Battlefront, and Battlefield was pretty bad as well. And like they're bringing out that Rogue Squadron game. It's what, $40 in the US? So what's that, $60 here?
Yep.
And it's going to have no paid expansions and no microtransactions at all.
No. It's
I don't know. They're not adding any content to it, so
I think it's just their last hurrah before they might lose the Star Wars licensing. That is what I'm thinking, but I don't know. Soon find out, I guess.
Yes, we will.
Anyways, that's about all we've got time for. I think we've gone for about an hour doing this. If not,
I'm sorry.
Close to. If you need to get a hold of us, our email address is birdiebasepodcast@essentialgamer.com.au. You can catch us on Instagram or Facebook as Essential Gamer AU or on Twitter as Essential Gamer AU. If you search Essential Gamer, I think we'd pretty much come up on any search on any socials. Feel free to tag us in anything you see. And until next time, I will see you later.
Bye.